Everyone's asleep. Everyone but me. And I can't help feel like I'm doing this all by myself.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to hour number two of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show, the lighter side of genocide, because in the world so full of chaos and madness, if you lose a sense of humour, you'll go friggin' nuts. We're broadcasting live from the fabulously fluoridated capital of Auckland, New Zealand, the island-chained nation in the sunny slave South Pacific. It's so gorgeous. And it's not only fluoridated, ladies and gentlemen, it's also Fukushima irradiated, which, according to the Prime Minister John Key, is good for the economy because now everybody can get a part-time job as an incandescent light bulb. And my very special guest is John Russell from Australia, the People's Voice Parliament. I'm sorry, I've forgotten the exact name. I'm terrible with these kind of things.
Parliament of the Commonwealth.
Parliament of the Commonwealth.
That's it.
As opposed to the parliament that's where it's quite common that they'll operate and pass laws by stealth.
That's right. Yeah. Exactly right. Or the Australian government.
Yeah, yeah. What does the word government mean?
To me. To me.
No. Govern. The direct, I think from the direct Latin, mentor meaning mind, and govern meaning control. So the word government means mind control.
Okay.
But just think about that for a minute. Everything means something. And if they're using a derivative word, just like as you were saying, the Congress is the opposite of progress. So what is the Congress there for? They're there to make sure you can't get any progress. And the government means mind control. What are they there to do? What are they doing? Oh, that's right. They're controlling the media here in New Zealand, influencing it in other countries. They've got a public education system going, and they've got the entire business structure and everything all wrapped up too, and surveillance over everybody's communications, private or not. They're trying to control the mind. And I think that if there is one tyranny that exceeds simple extermination, it'd be a tyranny of the mind. Don't you think? Because that's perpetual one.
Yeah, I do. That's why I like the People's Parliament. The Parliament of the Commonwealth doesn't have the government word in it. It's the voice of the people. What the people want, the people will be heard. That's what, yeah, it's all about. Yeah. People should not be afraid or fear of their government. It should be the opposite way around.
I believe Jefferson said, when the people fear the government, there is tyranny. When the government fears the people, there is liberty.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So Australians at the moment have been disarmed, largely because of that Port Arthur incident, which by analysis appears to be an inside job as well, just like almost every other significant event in history where they passed draconian laws afterwards. Yeah, that's so irritating. You know. Anyway, on top of that, you have an economy that's dipping down. I just heard that they're shutting down the Ford or Holden factories, printing presses, for example. I think about maybe Fairfax Media has shut down an enormous amount of printing presses, laid huge amounts of people off. Agenda 21 being enforced like there's no tomorrow, and they've even prevented people from picking up firewood. And incidentally, that's what helped cause those record forest fires, because it was illegal for people to even cut down fire-damaging kind of trees off of their property under council bylaws, and nobody could collect firewood either, so these trees just grew out of control as opposed to normally having controlled burn-offs. So you're being destroyed completely, and I think that might be an agenda to get people out of the rural areas, because that's Agenda 21 to a T, isn't it? Get the people off the fracking land. What's happening to Australian farmers right now? I scarcely don't want to think about it. Everything.
Well, that's the funny thing about this. Eh? The more pressure that comes on to not only Australia but the entire world, you got to really ask yourself, where does it stop? Where does it actually stop? There has to be a specific intent, specific motive behind what they're doing. There has to be. Yeah, and that is Agenda 21, Illuminati. Right? When you look at all the stuff that they've done in Australia just since 1972 onwards to now, the amount of laws, the amount of bylaws, the amount of taxes that they've actually done, it's really crazy. But you got to really ask yourself, where does it actually stop? Where do they pull up and go, okay, we've put enough pressure on these people, okay, and we can allow them to live now? Do the people really ask themselves that, or do they just condition themselves to that and just go, okay, well, this is what it is? As Mum said when I was growing up, what she used to say to me? No, you'll be told. I said, no, I don't want to be told. I want to be explained. I want to be taught. Don't tell. Yeah.
And I want to be persuaded.
Yeah. Yeah, this is a really big thing, actually. The terminology or the wording of two different words called manipulation and deception. Myself, I want to be manipulated my entire life. My entire life. And people go, what? So, yeah, exactly, I want to be manipulated, but I do not want to be deceived. I don't want to be deceived. You just tell me the truth. Even if I don't want to hear it, you tell me the truth. Yeah? And people... Just to give a scenario on manipulation and deception, what they're actually doing is to say, like, John, you're in Darwin, go down to Catherine, there's a box down there, and inside that box there's a present for me, but I'm going to give you $50,000, okay, to do it. But you got to walk. You have to walk 300 kilometres. It's like, yep, no worries. So John wanders down, walks down, takes a couple of days, grabs this box, comes back, and this is the manipulation side. And I do exactly that. No worries. I get my box, I get my money, and I'm happy. The person wins, I win. Everyone's happy. But the deception, I get down there, get the box, come back, they get their box, and they walk away. I get nothing. So that's deceiving me. That's deception. And that's what I never want done to me. I don't want to be deceived no more. I've had enough of being deceived. I want the truth literally thrown at me. Give it to me. Literally, if a person can't tell me the truth... Well, truthfully, I don't want to speak to you. As simple as that. You got to talk truth to me, to John Russell. You really do. I can't work outside of truth. You can't get to know end point. You can't get to know end result in anything. Doesn't matter what comes up against you. You need the truth to work it all out. And that's why I always want to be manipulated and not deceived.
Yeah. Well, that's why you can pretty much – you have to exclude people that you can't trust. You know, yeah. People who are known liars and things like that. But and maybe we put up with lies so much in society. Now, there's two types of lies. You know, there's little lies, which everybody does all the time. You know, we lie to ourselves, we lie to other people. But then there's more deceptive lies where you actually benefit from it, or you manage to conceal something that you might be punished for. Those kind of lies, mate. You don't want those people around you at all, especially the very convincing ones, because you never know whether or not they're telling you the truth with any word that they say.
Yeah, exactly. That's so true. Especially to set up a people's parliament, you need to be spoken truth to people that you're associated with, people that I'm associated with. As much as we face things every day in very hard issues, We talk the truth out of it. It has to be the truth. It can't be from a socialist perspective. It has to come from the truth at all the time. And this is why I say to people, I stand in law and I stand in truth. As much as you might not want to hear what I'm about to say, okay, a man told me years and years ago, John, if I could actually say something to you, but it's going to hurt you, okay, but also it's going to help you. Are you prepared to hear it? I was like, bring it on. Tell me. I'm prepared to hear it. I'm a man. Tell me. And that's the same as me now. To set up this people's parliament, there's something going on in there that I don't see, and a person tries to swindle their way around me, just tell me the truth on it. Just literally tell me the truth, because you can't work outside of truth. You don't know where you stand on anything. Yeah, and especially to set up a people's parliament, this has got to do with 24 million people, then worldwide. You need to be standing in the truth. That's why I say right at the start there, we sit down at the table. We sit down. We talk about this. We do get hot-headed, yes, but we speak truth. We don't throw bullets and bombs at each other. We don't try to dominate each other.
Yeah, well, you know that diplomacy has failed when you contaminate somebody's land with depleted uranium for the next 10,000 years.
Very much so. Very much so.
Where's the feeling of diplomacy here? Because I was just thinking about this whole business right now that's going on in Australia is that Julia Gillard's leadership of the Labor Party is being questioned rather heavily, and she's very much behind on the polls. She'd lose, like, what, 20% of her previous vote or something like that. She's just massive, massive Shiite Muslim storm, to put it bluntly, clustering around her. And she's still clinging to it. Right? She's still clinging to it.
She'll fight to the end.
And what's the point anyway? I mean, did Rudd change anything that John Howard didn't, you know? It's just every single time that one of these people gets to the top, they always facilitate the agenda, okay? I don't think it's possible to have a parliamentary solution to the problems that actually oppose the country from within Parliament.
Mm. Yep.
You know, just like Einstein said, you know, the same consciousness can't solve the problem that it created. You know, you've got to change your consciousness a little here. Like, oh, we really care about this very central point in government called Australia, and this federal government that we've all got to live under. And then there's other people who go, no, we want the state government. Look. You're thinking too far ahead of yourself. Ain't about the states, ain't about the federation. It's about the people. They are the very authority which the entire land must respond.
Yes, exactly. Yes, I'm not. I'll bring something up here that I'm not sure if anyone will ever talked about or anything like that. And that is literally to look at a parliament and to go, in society, you have two sides to society. You have the people, and you have corporations. But you have Parliament running as one. You have the people and the corporations all in one entanglement inside of there. And this is the difference where this people Parliament is on the side. In time, okay, there will be two Parliaments. It is the People's Parliament on one side. You've got the Corporation Parliament on the other side. Two completely different set of matters. So when it comes to the law as well, people aren't corporations. It's illegal or unlawful for a person to be registered as a corporation, hello, birth certificate. But that's what the People's Parliament is about as well, to have the corporation side of the society separate to the people. So when it comes into corporation matters, that will be dealt in the Corporation Parliament, not in the People's Parliament. Yeah, and the people's matters will be dealt in the people's parliament, not in corporation parliament. It's the same as the courts. The court system right now in Australia, it's all corporations. So we are getting tried as a corporation, where I'm not a corporation, I'm a man of blood and flesh. I'm a man. So how can I be tried in there?
Is there also a people's court system being set up and a people's police system? I mean, maybe think about it more universally, instead of employing the governing body, actually employ the enforcement arm simultaneously.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, you have to. When it comes to the judiciary side, you can't put a person or a people into a corporation court. You're getting tried as a corporation then. So there has to be two different jurisdictions in that. One, common law, king's law, okay, in time would be king's law, and the other one is corporation law. It's the only way you can actually do it right now. Because right now people say, we want a republic. Well, you've been in a republic since 1972 in Australia. New Zealand's the same. America's the same. Everyone's the same. You've been inside of republic. We haven't been in the crown. But to jump into the crown, you need to totally separate those two. And it's never been done before. But it's something that our Dominical Sovereign has seen and gone, well, you can't actually have the people inside of a corporation and the corporation inside of a people. You have to totally separate it.
Kind of like church and state.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, without it, we've just got the same. We've got the same. Yeah, to go to the judiciary right now, to be tried as a corporation is, I can't comprehend that. I really can't. We are not getting tried in Australia as a person, as a people, or a human being, as in common law, what Australia was built on in 1900 with the Constitution. It's common law, common sense. Common sense is common sense. Well, your common sense is different to my common sense, but we have a neutral ground. We have a neutral understanding on
that. And that neutral ground is that we both realise that the government and the politicians are common criminals.
That's, yes, very much so. Yeah, some of the acts that they actually do is, yeah, very eye-opening. And that's what I say to the listeners, very controversial what I say, is to literally go do research on this, to go to the Constitution page, to go to Google, type in all different stuff, chemtrails, to fracking, to... There's so many issues out there, and that's one thing that I've never done, okay, over the last 10 years, is jump into people's issues, okay, all the different issues out there. I've stood back and tried to find a formula. And this, when another gentleman came to me and said, prove me wrong, John, this is the formula how to fix all this. But it's not just the Australia's problems, it's the world's problems. And that's what I did. I studied his pages on the internet, and I studied it, and it started to reveal itself. And I was like, wow, here it is. This is actually how you fix it. You, when it comes back to the parliament, you have to split the parliament in two. There has to be two sides to parliament. It has to be the corporation, and there has to be the people, because you can't mix these two together. Yeah, it's been happening for 2,000 years. It hasn't worked. So how about we try it a bit different? How about we actually sit down the table and split these two? The corporation goes to the corporation. The people go to the people. And that's why I love
it. You know, the one thing I don't like about corporations or government is that you can't hold individuals accountable for the acts of that corporation or government.
Yeah, well, that might change in time. We don't know. All laws can be changed. All laws, wow. And this is where it comes back to the accountability. The person has to be accountable for what they've actually done. Doesn't matter if they stand behind a corporation or not. If you're going to do an unlawful act inside of a parliament or inside of a corporation or outside of a corporation but inside the corporation, you have to be still accountable. You really do. You're the sense of saying you're screwing with people's lives. You really
are. Could you maybe fire off some names of people you think might actually wind up getting criminal charges brought against them if the judicial, I wanted to use some kind of testicular reference there, but I'll decide against it. We'll be right back after the break at the Vinnie Eastwood Show .com. My very special guest from Australia is John Russell.
Accept it that soon you'll be drenched to the bone. If your time to you is worth saving, then you better start swimming or you'll sink like a stone. For the times, they are a-changing.
Welcome back. Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. We're broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. 5 days a week, 5 till 7 Central, 3 till 5 Pacific, 6 till 8 p.m. Eastern. And at the moment, during winter time, it's 10 a.m. through midday local New Zealand time. As for Australia, I have no idea. What time is it there, John?
9:24 a.m.
All right, so it'd be like an early one. You've got to get up at like 8 o'clock where he is in order to start the broadcast, right?
Yeah, well worth it. Well worth it. Yeah, for sure.
If you say so. Now, we're talking about these problems, okay, and they're all immense and complex. And I think one of the main problems that is a roadblock to that is a very fucking short public attention span.
Mm.
30 seconds. They click off, mate. You see that blank stare in the eyes, that dull cow type gelatin just in front of their pineal gland kind of just glazes over. It's not getting through. And so if people are that freaking silly, so that they can't even see the truth when it's laid out in front of them because they don't have the attention span to pay attention long enough to find out how it's working, what hope have we got?
People's Parliament. Slowly but surely. That's the whole idea. Yeah.
When it comes down to repetition out through the public consciousness, then doesn't it?
It certainly does, yeah. That's why you hear the politicians say the same wording over and over and over, and terrorism, in one speech 50 times. And then the people, at the end of it, they go, wow, it's terrorism, it's them, it's that. And that's why when I say it's the people's parliament, it's your voice. It's actually your voice. This parliament is your voice. It's never been done before, okay? Well, it was, but it got shut down. And you got to ask yourself, why would it be shut down? Because you were actually being heard for once. The people of Australia were being heard.
Maybe the word is not shut down. Maybe the word is taken out.
Taken over. Yeah. Actually, if you want to go into the Defence Acts, it's called invasion.
Really?
They've invaded our law and they've invaded our infrastructure. As we have asked them to leave our infrastructure, they have not. Because okay. They aren't our government.
Who was the pencil pusher who actually put this legislation forth where the invasion could ensue?
Couldn't ensue.
Could ensue.
Gough Whitlam, back in 1972.
What's his background?
The really funny part about that is constitutional law. He was a constitutional lawyer. Yeah. And he invaded his own law. By stealth, literally. You go into the Defence Act and, like, to class yourself if you're at war or not, that's where you go through with the Defence Acts and the Pre-Recaution War Acts and that, and determine if you are at war or not, and it defines it in there, if you are or not, and we are. Right now, this might sound really crazy, but we are. This is why I want to sit down with the Governor-General and not explain this, she already knows this, but explain what the People's Parliament is about to do. Yeah, because we're not interested in being at war. Yeah. We're interested in sitting down at the table and talking about stuff. We're not interested in you invading our law, invading our privacy. And we want to live. Yeah. That's why when she comes back from the Queen, seeing Queen Elizabeth II, we'll be catching up, sitting down at the table. Eating nice fish and actually,
you know,
talking
I was just
about
thinking
it.
About this. Two groups of people walk into a Chinese restaurant and they all sit down at the same large table. And one group of people is wanting to order really, really bad stuff for the whole table. And one group of people don't want to have a bar of it. And they find themselves another table and they get to order exactly what they want.
Mm. Yeah, exactly the same scenario. Exactly. When you look at the Governor-General for Australia, she's there if the Parliament does not listen to us. If the Parliament is misusing their powers, that's who we can go to because of the monarch. The monarch sits above the government. If the government doesn't listen, we go to the Governor-General, and she can do stuff about it. And that's what we expect. There's so many people in Australia that expect this because that's what's been put in place since 1900, 9th of July 1900. And it's about time that she actually lived up to her role. Yeah.
Well, it depends what your definition is of a prime minister, though.
Well, there's no such word in the Constitution as a prime minister. We do not have it at all. Okay? This might sound crazy too, coming from New Zealand. New Zealand's in our Constitution as a state.
Oh, yeah, I know that.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah, not many people do. Not many people actually do. But, the wording Prime Minister, no, we actually have a President in Australia. But the government's been pushing the word Republic with the word President, so they push away from that. They look at that and they class that as America. But when you look at the Constitution of 1900, it's actually the true wording is Australia has a President here. But we don't have a president, we have a prime minister. So whoever this prime minister is, they've got nothing to do with us whatsoever.
Agent of the crown.
Yeah. Agent of the crown?
Yeah.
Sorry?
you know, how James Bond 007 isn't kind of agent in the service of Her Majesty, and they come in and they take out anybody who opposes the Her Majesty's will and so on and so forth, and saves the day for the Queen so that she can, you know, suck the lily livers out of you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and that's what Quentin Bryce's job is in Australia, the representative of the Queen. Yeah, but more to the point now, she's the representative of our Dominical sovereign. Yeah. Since 2009. She knows this. She's fully aware of this. And good. So we can sit down and talk about this now, okay, from the People's Parliament side and to the Corporation Parliament side as human beings, not throwing bullets at each other. Yeah? We live on the same.
You know what? I think that the Queen retains the same powers over New Zealand as she does over Australia. She can dissolve Parliament if she wants.
Yeah, in the long run, if she can, for sure.
And under New Zealand, all parliamentarians are kept under the watch of the state intelligence services. And a couple of them have had their offices broken into and stuff stolen and what have you, who have been, incidentally, trying to pass laws that free people's lives a little bit, you know, like Nando Tanchos. So I presume that if the Queen didn't want any of this going on, it wouldn't be going on. And I've seen a number of representatives from high-level groups and incredibly intelligent people go and ask directly to Buckingham Palace. I've seen the letterheads and the replies from the Queen's assistant. And I just wonder, what is the point in asking for your freedom from the very person who is trying to enslave you using a piece of paper?
Well, she's our defender in faith, so it says in the Constitution, so about time that you actually lived up to it, I reckon.
Honestly, do you think she would live up to it? I mean, we're talking about a hereditary dictator that isn't actually in
Always, yeah, she always says to revert back to the Governor-General, and the Governor-General states, and we've got this on a couple of letterheads, okay, I do not, what is it, I do not come into these matters. So what matter are you talking about? But you're our representative on the Queen's behalf and on our Dominical Sovereign's behalf, on James II's behalf. It's like, you have to. You have no choice in it. You are the spokesperson. You are the representative. So if the government is misusing their powers, we go to you. That's what this whole thing's all about. Yeah, that's our safeguard. That's what the Constitution put in for us, or our forefathers put in place for us in 1900, was this big, massive safeguard as if Parliament has ever misused their powers. That's what we're about to go and do. Talk to literally Quentin Bryce and say, look, this is what's going on. This isn't right. This needs to stop. Yeah, under the will of the people, not under no protest, not under no petition or marching or anything like that. We don't do that. That's where I say I've never jumped into issues. I see all the other people doing this, and I've seen it over years and many, literally decades. And it never works. So it's like Einstein says, you don't go and do something three times. It's insane. And if you get the same result twice, you're going to get it the third time as well if you do the same action. So that's where it comes back under the will of the people. It's actually the will of the people say, we want them sacked. We want them gone.
Is there actually a feeling on the streets? Like if you go out, are you seeing people waving placards and F the government and swaths of protests that aren't covered by the media, things of that nature going out?
Yeah, in Melbourne there is, yeah. Yeah, there was one not long ago for the Santos seeds, for the different seeds that are coming into Australia for the farming and that. It's just bad stuff, like really, yeah. The more it happens to society, the more it's going to happen, as in protesting and that, because they don't really know or they don't understand because the government have been teaching them that protest, yes, this is the way we listen. Well, it's not the way they listen. Nothing ever happens because it's not the way it's done. It is called the will of the people. Yeah?
See, I can vouch from personal experience, having been to, like, I must say, hundreds of protests or something. Nothing has ever been done, ever, as a result of one of those protests.
It's not how it's actually done. That's the thing. It's a very simple concept. You have at the top of the letterhead the will of the people. You have the problem underneath the will of the people. Then underneath that you have the people that back the problem under the will of the people. So it's like a trinity in itself, and that's actually how it works. No protesting. No yelling, no screaming, none placards, nothing like this. Like when we open the People's Parliament on the 4th, it's not, as people would think, they go, oh, we're going to march. No, we do not march. What do? We just turn up. We put a ribbon across there. We cut a ribbon. We have Australia's biggest barbecue. I want to turn that, and I'm trying to turn that into a Guinness Book of Records. Okay, Australia's biggest Aussie barbecue. And do it every year. Why not? But that's what we do. We don't actually do what everyone thinks we do or they've been doing. It's not actually how it's done. Yeah, because it's a very simple, simple concept. But as you know, things are very, very complex these days. So to talk simplicity, it's very hard sometimes to, like for myself, it took me a long time to work it out because it was
lies,
very
simple. I found the lies are complex, but the truth is rather simple.
Yeah, it is. It really is. Like when our Dominical Sovereign said to me, prove me wrong in my pages, he shouldn't have said that to me. Okay, because I will prove you wrong. I will study and study and study until I prove you wrong. And this one I couldn't. And it was the simplicity to it. And I was like, that's how simple it is. You're kidding me. So why is everyone else actually out there protesting? Why are they doing this stuff if it's this simple? Because no one knows. The government doesn't tell you. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, if you were a guard and you had a prisoner, right? Would you tell the prisoner the layout of the prisons and all possible escape routes?
Good point. Good point. For sure. Yeah, that's a very good point.
Yeah. I don't think people realize. I do. And it actually is really depressing me. Like I've put on weight and I'm feeling kind of down. And it's just it really depresses me the fact that I know that I'm a fracking prisoner slave. And there's very little that I can do to physically change my my surroundings and that for all my people. I can only just play my part as one of many people who are making their own individual efforts in their own way. And in that way, I think we're kind of employing the tactic of the cactus. It covers itself in spines from all directions. Each individual spine acting as a protection from another direction. So anytime anybody comes at us, trying to damage us, we cacti, and they get a little prick to remind them. And I'm just one of those little pricks reminding the government that we're not going to be stood on any longer.
Well, the pricks actually, or these spikes are actually like the law off the side of you. So if you know the law, you know where you stand. And when I mean stand, you actually stand in law. So when the police come to speak to you, one of the simple wording is, what is your name? What is not my name? I'll leave that one for your listeners and yourself to work out, but it's
oh, how yeah, they... Oh, yeah, I get it.
Yeah? And that's the spike. And you know, like you're talking about your cactus is to know where you stand in law. But more to the point, we should not have to know where we stand in law at all. It should come down to literally common sense. You punch me, there's consequences to that. That's not hard to work out. Yeah, so we shouldn't.
It's called a black eye, yo.
Exactly. Yeah, but we shouldn't really. The people should not have to know law. But right now, yes, we have to know law inside out to protect ourselves. To have these spiky little cactuses hanging off us. Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to make some kind of a joke there, but I don't think the cacti reference is good. Okay. We have a break coming in just a little under a minute. And during the final segment, what I'd like to do is sort of get into certain things that you choose not to talk about, John, if any, because often what I see on radio shows is that the person might not feel comfortable revealing certain information or how they really feel about particular topics. And just wanted to let you know that this is the place where you can share any of your beliefs, any of your things that people might think, oh, well, that's a bit controversial. And just like, well, it's the truth is the truth is the truth. And if you can't be provided a place where you can speak your 100%.
La la la.
Welcome back.
Welcome.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the most operatic 2 hours in talk radio, Symphony Eastwood Show. And my very special guest is John Russell. Now, John, you know, there's all these kind of topics that people choose not to cover, like one that's a particular interest to them, but they know it kind of really puts people off and scares the frickin' bejesus out of them, so you don't mention it too often. And mine is like the massive amount of child kidnapping and pedophilia that gets sanctioned by government services, you know, like in CPS custody, like 5 times as likely to be sexually abused. And there's like 400,000 people, kids a year that go missing in the US. There's just some really horrific stuff on there. And I choose not to talk about it most of the time because, oh, mate, it depresses and scares the living crap out of people. And I was wondering, is there anything parallel to that, like the certain stuff that maybe even scares you a little bit that you don't talk about too often?
Sharks. Been bitten by a shark once, so I don't talk about sharks. Yeah, might sound crazy, but yeah. Well, I really sit on the fence. Yeah, if that's a way of saying, I have my opinion on stuff, but there's nothing that really scares me. Well, nothing scares me actually. It might sound crazy that, but yeah, all I've done literally for the last 10 years is study how to fix this problem. Now, many, many moons ago, that's when the Dominican sovereign jumped in. Yeah. And since then, for what I've learnt, it really shaped me a bit in what actually the world and how it's actually really working. Okay. And I sit on the fence a fair bit. I don't have my own personal opinion. I have my personal opinion when it comes to terrorism and all this kind of stuff. But when it comes to stuff that really scares me, or it's not there. It's actually not there. Okay, yeah. I know you're after something for me to say 100%.
Oh, well, I was wanting you to just describe the shark attack that happened to you, because that's actually quite a rare thing to happen to somebody. You know, surprisingly enough, the way it's hyped up in the media. I remember one time I was watching TV3 News here, and they had a 38 second story on a guy who was attacked by a shark in Australia, where the shark bit off the tip of his index finger. Wow. And then the next story was 100 people died today at a train crash in Pakistan. And then the next story was I don't know if it's painful to relive. I'd understand if you don't want to talk about.
No, not at all. I just don't go in the ocean no more at all. No, I just don't go swimming. I'd like I grew up in the ocean. I was a fisherman. Okay, before I started all this, started the politics side and that, and I was fishing up in the Torres Straits, and I was down spearfishing, and I speared this fish, come up to the surface, put him on my little hook, went down to get another fish, and a black-tip reef shark was up there, and I was probably 10 metres under the water. I've looked up, because I was getting jerked around a bit, okay, on the rope. I was like, I've looked up to the surface, and there's a black-tip reef shark there, chomping on my fish, and I was like, oh, yeah, go and get you away, because I've dealt with them in my life, you know what I mean? They never put the fear in me. So I've given him a whack with the spear gun and he's gone off. He would have went off probably 20 metres, okay, into the reef and turned, and he was on me like that. Literally, he'd come that fast at me, and I got a good size cut and chomp up my leg now from it. And so I had no choice. I stuck the spear gun straight through him. I speared him, and he's running around now still with my spear gun. Okay, I lost that. 17 staples in my leg on the boat to put it all back together. The skipper sewed it. Well, he didn't sew it up. He stapled it with a surgical staple gun. And, that was pretty full on, but it gave me the fear of the ocean now. I don't go in the ocean. Like, I used to love the surf. I used to love the ocean. Absolutely loved it. I worked on it for 15 years, okay, before I got into gold and silver and got into the politics side and all that. But, that's really all I can explain on that. I just got a fear of the ocean. That's what really puts the fear up me. But land, nah, there's nothing in here that can hurt you. Nothing. Mm.
Yeah, see, I've got a similar thing, but mine's like a police attack, so I've got a fear of of incidentally something that is ordinarily also big and blue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can understand that, yeah. But, yeah, the poor fishermen up in where I come from, yeah, they're doing it hard and they have been doing it hard for years. Yeah, and they're the people, well, everyone really, but, yeah, to shut down. It's a funny thing because it went to the courts in 1992 and they shut down a whole heap of green zone of ocean and turned it into green zones. And they just did that not recently ago. And in the court submissions, it said the judge was talking to the fishermen and that, and then, the judge could totally understand why the logbooks, why our logbooks were never filled out correctly. And he asked the fishermen, like a couple of fishermen, why? He goes, Your Honor, if you go out fishing somewhere and you catch fish, are you going to tell your mate? So these QFMO, the Queensland Fishing Authorities over in Queensland, they got friends that have fishing boats themselves. So for us to write our information in there, they just pass that information off. Yeah, and but yeah, anyway. But yeah, the guys up in Cairns, the Torres Straits, the Darwin, literally from, I've worked from Brisbane to Cairns on the fishing boats and every single port in between. So when it comes to the fishing side and the farming side, because I was a farmer as well on the off season, the mango seasons and yeah, all different farms, or can really relate to what they're going through. And that's where these guys have got to really ask themselves, like I was saying before, where do you think the government's actually going to stop in what they're doing to you? Every year there's something. They're doing something to you. So they have to, sooner or later, they have to get to a specific goal in the end. And what is that goal? Yeah, and all we can see is Agenda 21 coming around the corner. Okay, to literally separate, pull down the state governments and take it back, or take it to councils. Okay, and be literally run through a 9,000 town council that's run out of the UN. And that's where the fishermen, the farmers, the doctors, the lawyers, the solicitors and the nurses, the police, the bakers, the candlestick maker, everyone's got to really, like, literally, if I can say it like this, snap into it. They've got to jump up. You've got to unite Australia. You've got to come together. It's simple as that. If you want this to stop, you have to unite. You've got to come together. They did that in 1920 in the engineers case, and it's time again now. You have to come together in Melbourne. If you want all this stop, my farming friends and my fishing friends, be in Melbourne. I expect you to be there, okay? Fly, run, walk, plane, drive. Doesn't matter how you get there, but be in Melbourne. Come and unite with us. Come and stand up and open this people's parliament, okay? Stand as one with your brothers, your sisters, your mothers, your aunties. Okay? You've got to come together. If you want this stopped, we can stop it. Yeah, and as simple as that, we can actually stop all this. Yeah, and it's called the People's Parliament, the Parliament of the Commonwealth, the real Parliament from the Crown that was set in place in 1900, not this Parliament that's sitting in place now. Yeah, yeah. It really affects me on that side when I see the people of Australia and New Zealand and the world in general, okay, for what the governments are doing. It's criminal. You can't do this to people. You just cannot do this to people no more. But more to the point for Australia, like Iceland. Iceland's already done it. They've been through it. Thank God. Okay, for a sense of, we've got something to look at. But Australia's a bit different in that sense because we've got the People's Parliament. We don't have to sit out the front as Iceland did 3 months in the snow protesting to sack the Parliament. We don't have to do that. Okay, we got our own Parliament. I can sit down with Governor-General, okay, Quentin Bryce, talk this out as human beings, as a lady and a man. We can talk this out. We can figure this all out, okay? Because the people of Australia have had enough. They're going to snap. And I don't want my friends snapping. Yeah, that's where the violence comes in. That's where the bullets and the bombs come in. I don't want that. I want to sit down and talk about this. This is what I want, yeah? And this is what a lot of other people want. I had to sit down and talk because it's like New Zealand. Our diggers, your diggers, our diggers went to war a long time ago. They did not envision, they went to war to set us free. They did not envision for us, Australians and New Zealanders, to be enslaved now. Okay, why did you go to war? What, so we can be enslaved in 2013? No, they didn't do that at all. They went to war to literally defend us so we can be free. We can live a free life.
Or at least that's what they thought they died for. And I think it's a dishonor of their memory when we remember them on Anzac Day and so on and so forth, that we say that they died defending freedom. I don't think that they did. I think they thought that they did, and that the people who actually sent them to war to die actually meant them to be a blood sacrifice so that they could bring about another tyranny. And I think it is a spit on their grave if we don't choose to overthrow that tyranny in their name.
Yeah, I stand with you on what you've just said, 100%. I really do. It's things have to change. Okay? If things don't change, things don't change. And that's why I say unite. Unite in a federal Commonwealth. Become united, Australia. Come together. Okay? And it's in time, it will be the entire world. We ask everyone to come. We ask all the world. The Commonwealth of Humanity is here for you.
And have you got a website that people can pick you up on there, John?
Still getting built, but we're on Facebook on Constitution of Australia.
All right, facebook.com/Constitution of Australia.
Yep, that's the
one. All right, sweet ass. I'll put that in the archives there so people can go and give you a ring and a bell and see if they can help you out. And I do think, ladies and gentlemen, that you should support this man and all the other people like him that are operating in your own nations, because these are the people who are actually setting aside a structure so that the people's voice can be heard. Not unlike myself. Basically, all you've got to do is listen to people and talk, and you can really resolve anything without the need for violence or name-calling. And we'll see you again sometime, ladies and gentlemen.